Okay, so we will start this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee this evening, June 11, 2012, at 6:34. Would you please take a moment, review and approve, or review the minutes from the May 29, 2012 meeting? Good, Steve? Okay. And the first order of business then this evening will be the Supplemental Pay Committee recommendation. And Ann will be discussing it this evening.
As you know, we bring supplemental pay recommendations to you twice a year, if appropriate. And this is the result of the Supplemental Pay Committee meeting, and they process through the recommendations that were made to them. And these two particular groups moved forward to have a recommendation to the board, and you are familiar with the Dare to Dream group. That group has been together, I believe, for 3 years now. And because they have expanded both the number of students they're working with and the amount of time they spend with them, they'd like to move from a group 5 to a group 4. And supplemental pay is supportive of that, as are we. And the second proposal, which is a dance club, the dance club was offered last year as a Wildcat workshop, and so teachers are paid just as part of hosting a Wildcat workshop, but they felt it was so successful that they wanted to make it a part of the supplemental pay structure and feel it's a really positive experience for kids who might not otherwise have a chance to participate in dance classes because they might not have the economics to support that. And so these are the two groups that are coming forward and resulting in a net increase in our supplemental pay of $4,049. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on behalf of Lori if there are questions.
I have a question. I'm just trying to pull up.
You have a question or you
yes.
don't have?
Oh. I wrote it in a PDF.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
Steppers? Is that type of dance?
It's more like a modern dance or a jazz.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't
know. Said something about during basketball games.
I don't think they're not like pom-pom girls.
Oh, okay.
It really is. I mean, although, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen dance groups at...
Well, they're like orchestras, if one were class.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. More like orchestras.
Okay. One of my questions was, for the Dare to Dream, how many teachers help out with that?
3. That's the number of stipends that they're requesting.
And then part of that, maybe, I couldn't, when I looked at the table in here and saw a total cost, I couldn't reconcile it with the, you know, I didn't see like a multiple of a number in that fee table.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but the net increase is the result of having 3 sponsors and moving from a group 5 to a group 4. So,
right. so it says total cost, $1,175.
Total increase.
Oh, total.
Total increase to our supplemental pay structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for that one. And then mm-hmm. the 29.24
would be the total cost of that. That would be a new cost.
With so that's 1462 times 2. Okay, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
That's what okay. 1175 was throwing me off. So that's a net increase.
Correct. Because there already are 3 sponsors, and they're paid at a group 4. I mean, a group 5, sorry. Okay. Any other questions?
Hearing none, we'll move on to the next business then. The next item on the agenda this evening then is the 2012-13 preliminary budget. As you know, we've presented this to you previously. This was just the second of just prior to the final review, which we'll hold at our June 25th board meeting. You know, at that time we'll be requesting that you allow us to post, which we will do for 60. We're required to do it for 30, but we will post it, which is our typical way of handling this this issue, until the second board meeting in August, when you'll ask for your approval of the budget. So I wanted to go through, we've made a few updates to the budget as is, And I thought I would just highlight these, and then if there are any questions, be happy to answer them. It's a little difficult to see here. This is the cash summary that we're going to go back to because we answered it, some questions on this and asked us to put in some additional information. But I did want to talk to you. I thought I had questions. I heard voices, but didn't see anybody.
Does he live in the district now? No, I think he's just an observer.
So I just wanted to go over a couple of items here. In particular, we have done some reallocation of corporate personal property replacement taxes, CPPRT. As you know, we had an IRMF audit a couple of months ago, and the result of us required to reallocate some additional funds so that within a period of 7 or 8 years, we can bring this up to what the state has determined to be a more reasonable balance in that account or that fund. So we are reallocating, I believe, $100,000 from the Ed Fund into the Social Security IRMF funds. So now we will be allocating a total of $927,530. You can see it on your spreadsheets.
Which page is it?
Yeah, what page are you on?
I'm sorry, I'm on page 3.
The revenue line.
The revenue line items.
You scroll up.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
This line right here. Corporate personal property replacement taxes. We reallocated $100,000 from the Ed Fund into the IRMRF, making that $137,500. That changed nothing. We were just required to do so that we could garner some additional fund balance over that in that fund over the next 7 or 8 years. To highlight, I've increased this total local revenues by approximately $8,000, just some minor changes that occurred in there. I will tell you that we had some rather significant increases in state revenue. Not really hearing a lot yet out of the state, but given the fact that we think we're going to get a minimum of 3 of our payments this year, I've increased special ed funding from what was $668,000 to $1,001,000. An increase of about $332,000. We left bilingual and ESL programs as they were originally presented to you. We decreased the special education transportation from $360,000 down to $315,000 for a reduction of approximately $45,000. revenue of about $289,000. Okay? And then we had some other adjustments that we've made between the last time you saw this budget and the present time. We reduced the, I believe it's a Title III English grant from $59,400 down to $30,700. And then the Title II teacher quality, we reduced that from about $109,000 to $100,000 down to approximately $45,000. Overall, we've increased revenues by about $194,000. Any questions on that?
Bob, I just have a quick question on CPPRT because I have the last budget from April 17th, you said it was $890,000, so now it's $790,000 to redistribute it.
To reallocate it, to allocate it from the Ed Fund into
the I thought I heard
the
opposite, so I just wanted to clarify.
Increased revenues over the previous budget?
Yeah, so about over last year. Over last year. Not, what I thought I would do is I would give you a verbal update told in terms of changes that have occurred from the last time you saw the budget to this time. And then when we present it to the board on June 25th, we'll take it this year, meaning the 12-13 budget versus the 11-13 budget. To go back and sort of readjust all those spreadsheets 3 times between the first time you see the budget and then the final for posting. I just thought I would make one clear transition.
Bob?
Yes.
I have a quick question. These adjustments that you're, are you looking at these line items on a weekly basis to be able to make these adjustments. I'm just trying to understand what your process is in making these adjustments and how often you're doing that.
I would say it's almost, it could be almost daily where Phyllis and I will have a conversation, perhaps scratch our head and say, well, what are they going to do next? We obviously prepare them monthly because we are in preparing the treasurer's report and so forth. You know, we're always wondering exactly where the state's going to take us. There still hasn't been a final determination made with regards to any of these funding sources, nor has there been any final determination made with, let's just say, general state aid. We're still hearing that may be appropriate or prorated, excuse me. So right now we really don't know where it's going to go, but we feel as though that there's a process called vouchering, and we've had three payments vouchered so far. So we feel as though those will definitely be recognized in this fiscal year. Okay.
What's the one where they said you'd be one short?
That's the general state aid, and I have not made an adjustment in this presentation yet. I thought we would wait till June, till this month. We'll wait for some additional, see if we hear anything else between now and June 25th when you get the sort of the final budget, and if we feel as though we have sufficient evidence or reason to make a change, we'll make it. We do feel as though it's going to be prorated at 95% this year and then probably another 5% on next year, but we don't know what exactly is going to occur yet. Okay, and then expenditures are pretty much the same as you originally saw them, although they did increase by approximately $105,000 from $47,108,000 approximately to $47,213,000. So about $105,000 shift. And they've been split a little bit after review in salaries, purchase services, supplies, and those types of things. So overall, we're looking at revenues having gone up approximately $194,000 and expenditures going up about $105,000. So then we come back and we look at the cash summary, which Dan, I think,
is... Are you back on page two?
We are back on page two, I believe. We are on page one of the budget summary. Preliminary budget fund summary. So let me walk you through how this has arrived at. Hopefully we've been able to answer some questions for you. We are projecting cash balances, and remember, this is purely on a cash balance. So when we close the book June 30th, this is cash in the bank. This is not with any accruals or recognitions or eliminations for revenue. Okay, it's what we estimate cash to be in the bank at that time. We're approximating, and as you can see, it's split up amongst funds, but in total, we're looking at approximately $36,200,000. The revenue lines tie out at $44,700,000 to what we anticipate receiving, as well as expenditures of $47,200,000 for a deficit of $2.5 million. Now, again, that this deficit is a result of the abatement that the board decided to provide to the community last year, and so that's indicated in these in the attached spreadsheets. Projected cash balances at the end of next year would be $33,686,000. As we have typically done, we do back out the June receipt of taxes, which would be the June estimated taxes of June of 2013 of $19,467,000 to come up with an undesignated fund balance of $13,219,000. That's our estimate for any accruals. This is strictly on a cash basis. So what does that mean, this percent of expenditures? This 30.12%, that's the undesignated fund balances into the expenditures for next year, that equals approximately 30.12%. Then what, in our business, we typically talk about operating fund balances, and operating funds are defined as the Ed Fund, the O&M Fund, Transportation, and Social Security. If you were to take that, the sum of those three funds divided by the expenditures, it comes to approximately 19.58%. Are there any questions?
So the so for the interest of our finance policy, which one would I look at?
I believe in our finance property, it's defined as operating expenditures.
Does that mean we're now below the 25%?
On a cash basis.
Yeah, you got. I think the accrual basis it should be different.
It probably will be different, but we won't know that until October, November. But any questions?
Based on the metrics that we have and the policy, based on these metrics and the policy that we put in place, because I recall it was 25%
of operating expenditures.
Right. So we're under that level,
as defined here. But again, this is strictly on a cash basis. We'll have to wait and see how the audit comes out. And how that
but this is a good indication.
No, I think it's still apples and oranges.
And we're talking cash. What you're in banking, you know, a big difference between cash and accrual basis of accounting.
But it answers what you were asking.
That's correct.
Which is a guesstimate. Yeah.
I was hoping for an accrual guesstimate.
I don't know how you can do that.
Because you want to limit our expenditures on, or do another abatement? I mean, what is the...
I just want to...
I get back to the thumb, not generating a huge revenue increase or a huge expenditure increase, or just kind of going along with what we're getting.
Mm-hmm. I think you're reading into things, Steve. I just wanted to know where we're at, because the policy says if we're over, we'll flip a recommendation from the board. If we're under, for the administration, if we're under. I just wanted to know.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure we all understand why that accrual basis doesn't come until October, November, and it's because of our. It's based on our audit, right?
We can't close the books.
And just so that it is thoroughly understood, when you begin to operate on an accrual basis of accounting, you're operating in several different fiscal years, because things that were accrued in or out 2 years ago are coming into play now. Recognition of revenues or expenditures that we did recognize last year will be accrued out this year. Mm-hmm. So it's
there's some subjectivity too, that as to where you decide what year you want to put something.
Yeah, and it also is subjective to how the auditors are going to determine what you're going to recognize with regards to what the state is going to commit or may not commit to pay. As I said, now we have we've upped our revenue items by essentially almost $500,000 because the third payment for the third quarter has been vouchered for the state. So we're expecting that no matter whether we receive it by June 30th or not, the auditors are still going to accrue that, and we will recognize that in this year's financial statements.
I wonder if a more productive conversation might be held around the second part of that policy, which is if we were to spend fund balances or make a recommendation around fund balances, should they exceed 25%, mm-hmm. what might those recommendations be given our current challenges and given the current priorities that we have? Because I think for us to try to guesstimate an accrual is such a slippery slope and so, as you've said, subjective, that we can look at, okay, on a cash basis, this is what we have, but even with that means we have a fund balance. So the board could choose, depending on priorities, to go spend some of that fund balance even if we were below 25%. Right?
That's right.
And we certainly have priorities. So maybe that would be a conversation that we could have now with the board on either or on finance committee as a beginning place to make that recommendation and say if we had this, we might recommend this. If we had this, we could create some scenarios, certainly, because I understand what you're saying in terms of budget dollars. We're in the process of budgeting now, so are there priorities either for next year or the year after that we may want to use those fund balances for? And we certainly have those conversations all the time as we're looking long-term planning. So would that maybe be more helpful, is to just have
all right, I'm just,
a matrix of priorities?
Reconciling it, because we're doing the budget now and not knowing where that is, does that mean you're always in a lagging scenario or an unknown scenario?
But you could, if you had a list of priorities, create the, you know, if this, then this. Mm-hmm. And we could have some of that preliminary conversation and perhaps agreement on if we decide to spend fund balances, here would be the top priorities that the board and administration agreed to. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a easier way to approach this than trying to figure out something that is still so much a guessing game.
Yeah, I mean, you could put some contingencies out there. Mm-hmm. You know, once the audit is finalized, here are the things that,
that could be accomplished this next year if we wanted to.
Well, and this ties back into what you provided for us earlier in terms of that longer-term capital projects that was, I think, misunderstood by some board members in terms of, well, we need all this money, you know, in the next 2 years. No, that was, you know, foresight, kind of trying to look forward. So that, to Dan's, to your point, Dan, you know, was part of the conversation. In addition to that, it's the board actually sitting down to say, what do we confirm or affirm as board priorities? Because we really haven't had that level of conversation, which is what I think we're trying to set up.
And, you know, we've talked about, you know, if we want to actively set aside our reserves for roof repair.
Right.
That's exactly what I just said.
Maybe that's another thing.
That's what I just said, is that we know these are looming. And so I think the getting stuck on the number is, for me, important via policy, but more important is hashing out what we know is coming down the pike and also what the long-range plan, which we all got for this meeting, is really setting us up to do, because our programs drive the budget. And so, you know, that's a really important conversation to have. You might have answered one of my questions.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Do you need to talk?
I'm sidebarring.
Be classy.
You should. Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, you might have answered my question from a couple weeks ago, which was, you know, albeit out there, might the state make up a little bit of our deficit for this $2.5 million? And I know that part of that was the decision to abate, but, you know, we got this third voucher. And is there any other opportunities to make up this deficit?
Well, if they were to suddenly come up with a fourth quarter payment, we would recognize that this year also.
That would lop another
another $400,000.
Half a million,
Okay. So who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we listen daily, and nobody's really saying much right now.
Yeah.
Well, going back to creating an accrual statement, as I recall, there was an audit item that was listed as a material deficiency that we don't have in on staff enough accounting expertise to generate an accrual statement.
And I don't know that it was identified as a material weakness.
But it was somewhere on that.
What it was suggested is that because of the way school districts are structured, they don't maintain a position of a full-blown accountant, if you will, where I would say we're generalists more than we're specialists. And there are few, if any, school districts. I'm sure some of the larger ones would employ someone in that capacity, but not 99% of the school districts out there. And that was noted as a deficiency amongst most all school districts.
Right. And will always be listed that way, because it will be an ongoing deficiency.
Yeah,
if they understand we're not
going
to correct. Yeah.
It's something we can't correct.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important or not important?
I guess when Dan was talking about having the accrual statements, I guess I'm circling back to that audit comment that it's a financial financially it's not feasible to be able to generate the statements.
Well, typically it's done by the outside auditors at the year end.
So my sidebar was, is it reasonable for us to, in the next 2 weeks, put together some priorities and some dollars that we would associate with that, those priorities. I think
sure.
we could bring back to you a healthy list of,
yeah.
of things that if we were to identify fund balances to designate, I think we could put together something.
Including groups.
Well, we'd look at all of our priorities.
Okay. My, you know that we had the new director of buildings and grounds start earlier this month, last week,
mm-hmm.
and it's our intention to start bringing to you capital project recommendations, at least broad scope thoughts mm-hmm. in terms of what we'll be recommending next year. We're going to probably start that early mm-hmm. August because we had portable inspections this week. Last week and this week, we had roof inspections last week. So all this information will be coming to us over the next probably month, and it's our intention to present it to you, like I said, probably at the Finance Committee meeting in August.
Mm-hmm. From a procedural standpoint,
mm-hmm.
these priorities, is it appropriate if they started finance? They would do a filter up to the board, or should it really adjourn?
Oh, I think it's very
discussion?
Well. It's ultimately a board discussion, but I think it's very appropriate that we begin that discussion with you, and hear you know your concerns, questions, ideas before we take it to the full board, so that we kind of you know get the full picture, and it's like getting some of the homework done prior to taking it to the full board.
So it's a reasonable
mm-hmm.
assumption to
yeah.
think we can put an action item in place for the next meeting to talk about priorities.
I guess I wouldn't use the language of an action item, but an agenda item
okay.
that we could look at talking about first round of. And you'll hear me talk a little bit about that with the long-range plan update in terms of you know facilities and the meshing of our capital projects and the master facilities plan and that sort of thing. So I think certainly we can sit down and we can craft... We could craft a very long list, but
yeah,
we
think,
would probably
and, you
bring
know,
back just sort of the top priorities.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's fantastic. I look forward to Bob's report for the next meeting.
That would be our last finance committee meeting for this summer until August. So
okay.
That might be an appropriate time to bring you that information. So we'll put it on
Bob,
the agenda.
I think we need to lengthen the meeting.
That so far would be the only agenda item.
Okay.
Because we purposely sort of bringing everything to a close without any outstanding recommendations or you know like technology requests or finance facilities and operations. We pretty much finished our business for the year.
Okay.
I wanted to give you an update this evening. This is on the Hadley parking lot project. If you've been driving by Hadley, you notice that they mm-hmm. got pretty aggressive over there Thursday and Friday. Again, this morning, the concrete is pretty much done. The blacktop is done. They're due to start digging the hole for the...
On Hawthorne? What's the... What
Hadley.
But you just talked about digging, so...
The parking lot.
Well, I thought... What's digging? Where is the digging?
Scraping all the asphalt out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they pulled
the
big piles of it yesterday.
So what is done? The Hawthorne is done or the parking lot?
No.
They began working on the parking lot.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something was already done for that.
No.
What are you digging up?
just barely started. As a matter of fact, they staged their equipment on Thursday and started work on Friday, and they were back at work again this morning. So what I do have to say, though, is that I've met with AT&T. I wanted to give you an update on something that's occurred since this final recommendation had taken place. We have met with AT&T, and they have recommended that because of the number of times that the pole that currently sat or does currently sit in front of Hadley, that we actually bury this the line that brings communications into the building. So there is a telephone pole just south of Hawthorne right along the Hadley area there that crosses Hawthorne and then ties into the communication line that brings that AT&T services into the building. We're looking to bury that line once and for all so we don't have to move it every time something occurs at site. The AT&T rep knew the Headley site well. He had met me out there probably about 3 weeks ago. Knows the site well, so he can remember the site. The pole has been moved probably three times in the past 12 or 15 years, to the best of his recollection. Every time they move it, it's $3,000 to $5,000. So the recommendation is that we would actually bury this underground cable, if you will. It would be encased in conduit. It will run from the pole just south of the Hawthorne Boulevard, across Hawthorne, onto our site, and directly west into our building, so that it's buried once and for all. So we've got some price increases. The net price increase for the contracting cost is $1,970. And then for AT&T to come in and pull that line, that's an additional $8,300 for a total cost increase of $10,318. Now, I also wanted to make you aware of some savings that have occurred. We received an update today for the area that's going to be the pull-off zone that's located south of the driveway. Those expenses are expected to be reduced by about $8,500. So in total, the increase in you'll have an increase in expenditure of about $2,000 versus what was originally presented. So total cost increases of about $10,300, which would be for the contractor to drop the conduit, as well as AT&T to pull the wires necessary, and savings of approximately $8,500 for a net cost increase of about $2,000. Now, when we originally bid the project, the way it was contracted, there's about $75,000 worth of allowances built into that project. So we're still in very good shape with that. So I wanted to make you aware of that change. Any comments or questions I might be able to answer, you have to ask. Because I would like to talk with AT&T and the contractor tomorrow and let them know that we're okay to move forward with this.
I'm assuming that, our cable isn't buried, but I'm assuming it has the potential to also reduce any loss of power, loss of connectivity, et cetera.
Well, that's one of the reasons for burying it. If the lines come down, whatever the case may be, due to weather or whatever the case is here in Glen Allen, that would greatly remove that possibility because the cable will now be buried.
Yeah.
And if we've spoken, why we have the street open, if there's ever a time to do the project, now is the time. They said, just come in, drop the conduit in there, we'll bury it over, and it'll be a quick, clean process.
Are they going to run dark fiber that could be turned on if necessary while they're pulling it?
The cable that Bob's talking about, it's actually our T1 lines for the whole system. Mm-hmm. We've got two lines that run into Hadley, and one line that runs here. So really the majority of our extensions run through Hadley. Burying that cable, because we have had a disruption in service, it's been a few years. But no, they're not running any additional cable.
Well, I'm just saying, as long as you're pulling it, it's just pulling extra cable that can be turned on if needed.
I spoke with AT&T regarding this, and they suggested an oversized 4-inch PVC pipe instead of going with a 2-inch or something along those lines. This will allow for future development if we need it. Mm-hmm. So this is buried once and for all, and when Mike needs to move to another type of system, it'll already be in place. Okay.
The other piece of this is because it's below the legal limit, a change order is not required to present. The scope of the change in the project is not that great.
Change order would have been required had this new work been greater than 10% of the original contract price. So there's two thresholds, 10% for bidding requirements, and then $10,000 if it was in regards to... there were two thresholds, one for 10%, the other for $10,000, that I had to be aware of, and neither one of them, because we're dealing with two separate contracts, and neither one of them approached those thresholds.
Seems to make sense.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Can we go back to the budget?
Sure.
I think you mentioned that you had gotten some questions on the budget.
I've got a couple questions from Eric on the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Board members or both?
Board members.
Board members there.
So again, when I do my board president, my board report for finance committee, I will again ask the entire board if they have questions, bring, you know, bring those to you and Ann, so we can have discussions about this.
In the next week. Because in 2 weeks, we're adopting the budget. So the budget.
We're going out to post the budget for 30 days.
Yeah. But so if you have questions about prior to us posting the budget for public, we really need those questions in the next week since we have
eight weeks to
review.
Yeah.
So we'd like the questions by next Monday, if possible, so that there's adequate time, because you're also asking us to do some other work relative to the budget and priorities between now and next
week. I just want to make sure.
I would respectfully request those questions. Probably by Monday, so if there are changes that need to be made or something along those lines, we can make those changes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or just questions that need to be answered.
Thank you, Bob. Mine have been answered.
I think we've asked this every meeting.
I just want to make sure that questions that come in on Monday the 25th are less likely to get an adequate answer than questions that come in by Monday the 18th.
Okay, then the final order of business on the agenda this evening, well, not on the agenda, but another item, is we would like to talk about the Finance Advisory Committee.
I'll pass around the folder, which shows you all of the people who received an invitation, as well as the names of the people that we received responses from. So of the 12 or 13 names that we sent out, we received 5 responses of interest by the end of the day today, with the final one coming in really at the end of the workday today. So the names of those people who expressed interest are John Mulheron. Originally, Bill Enright submitted his application and then withdrew it. Lisa Lane and Margaret Immick, both parents from Ben Franklin. Ray Essick, and the one we got just this afternoon was Andy
Hubble.
So those are the names that we have. If board finance committee is satisfied with that, we'll confirm those invitations. It's a smaller group than we anticipated, but bring them in, and unless you wish to postpone and continue the search for more members.
That's so all of the ones that we proposed were contacted?
Mm-hmm.
I ran into one of the people and they didn't mention it.
Who is that?
Brian Bennett.
Well, if I have his email or his phone number, I think I left a phone message for Brian Bennett to ask him to send me his email, and I don't think I received a response from him. So in some cases, writing him an email, I just called and said, please leave your email for me, and your name has been submitted as someone who might be interested in a finance advisory committee.
Did he follow up after you talked to him? Did you tell him to call in?
No, I didn't know you had. I knew you said it was coming out. I didn't know you had already contacted.
Yeah, in some cases, I didn't have email addresses. So okay. In those cases, I either left a message or talked with someone.
So Bill Enright.
He felt that he had consulted with someone in his employment and felt that it might be a potential conflict of interest.
Oh.
And his wife also expressed the same thing. She works for William Blair. So would you like me to try and reach him again?
Maybe I'll send him an email, because I was just...
Well, if you have his email, why don't you send me his email?
Is it on there?
I don't know. If his email's on there, he would have gotten an email.
Not to say that your emails are junk, but sometimes stuff goes in the junk folders.
Oh, absolutely. That could happen, yeah. I can try sending it to him again.
Well, maybe not just him, but other people. I'm surprised you didn't hear more.
I'm very surprised you didn't hear from Dave Peterson.
Didn't hear from Dave. I didn't hear from any of these people. If you would like to postpone the meeting on June 21st, I can resend these and let the people know that you did hear from, that we're not ready to select. I mean, what would you like to do? I'm happy to do anything.
Did you send them email? Did you send them a real letter?
No, because I don't have
a real letter.
I don't have their addresses.
They didn't put their address down?
When you gave me the names, you...
Do we know they actually live in District 41 then? I just think...
Well, yeah, I think we probably can trust that.
When you approach Brian, did he say, I'd love to do this?
And is that why you're surprised? I mean, this was weeks ago. I spoke to him about it. He said he was interested. I mean, you said just submit things, but I just wanted to make sure. So yeah. I'm a little bit surprised. I'll send him an email just to make sure he got it.
You can't hurt to be proactive if you want to do it.
Yeah.
Tell them to call Ann. I mean, they can definitely get a hold of her.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so the question really is, do you want me to... We can cancel the meeting on the 21st and continue to look for people, you know, and resend.
We only have five and some people jump
out. Yeah, it was a disappointing response.
What number were you looking to see?
We were like eight. We were hoping
eight people. Mm-hmm. Well, you left him a message.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I probably didn't because I had his email, so I wouldn't have called him. I only called the people who's, like, I called the Demoses. And I got that email, and Bill Giffen I called. Actually, it might have, now I'm trying to think if it was Bill Giffen or if it was Bill Enright who said they would. Maybe we have six, maybe Bill Enright. I just had an email that somebody who said Bill and said, I'm going to have to withdraw.
That was Enright.
Well, it was Enright, wasn't it? Yeah, that's what I thought. And Bill Giffen said he was very interested, but I don't recall seeing anything from him. Didn't hear from David Peterson, didn't hear from Tim O'Shea, didn't hear from Jim Pizak.
They're just not interested.
Jim Burkett.
I suppose that could happen.
Brian Bennett, Alex Demos. I'm happy to resend.
What concern is there for conflict of interest, though? They don't actually approve any vendors or anything.
If somebody's uncomfortable, you know, because of the relationship they may have with financial institutions or something.
Well, we do business with William Blair.
Yeah.
And Bill has a business where he brings exchange students.
Demos bids on stuff, and his company
That's why he didn't respond.
So the question is whether or not you're satisfied with these five people.
Yeah, I don't think we can try and figure out why people didn't respond. All that we can do is reach out again, which I'm happy to do.
Well, I think we should continue with what we have and try and build from that. And we can always add people. You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm unless you guys...
I'd rather have four or five people that proactively wanted to be on it than chasing to try to get two or more who really aren't that interested.
Yeah, no, I agree. If we got a solid five, let's start with that. And again, we can always add people.
Okay.
But it'd be nice to have a nice core.
Would you like to do the outreach to people who didn't respond, or would you like me to do it once more?
Yeah, I'll just send an email just to make sure they can get put in job folder or something.
Okay. I think it really should come from you.
Okay, we'll do second round.
Are you going to still have the meeting on the 21st?
Yeah. Okay. We'll go ahead and have the meeting. And we'll prepare an agenda for that. Because that's another thing we're going to have to prepare by the 21st. No, the 25th. So we'll be forced. So we got a lot to get done in the next couple of weeks.
So is there anything else? Any other questions we can answer? If not, we'll close this evening's meeting and reconvene for the board meeting at 7:30.
I have a quick curiosity question. Sure. Mm-hmm. There was something in the Glen Ellyn News again, and I know, Steve, you brought this up about this housing development. Brought it with me because I never remember that.
I don't think I brought
it. Hovnanian Homes, they're looking to build 23 new homes between 1st and 2nd Street.
They
want to
annex it.
They want to annex it, right. So I'm just, my curiosity is, when we see, you know, things like this is who knows how far on the horizon, but I was just curious about how you start to, how you think about planning for that or budgeting for that or...
Last year and asking us to waive impact fees.
Yeah.
We declined to do that.
Yeah.
And I have not received any communication from other contractors looking to build at least any type of substantial development within the district.
Yeah. How this usually works is when the developers start in their planning process with the village, they send us a plat and we get to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can then talk to them about, you know, well, I can't get a bus down the street or, you know, things like that. If it's annexed into Glen Ellyn, then it will come under the Glen Ellyn developer donation ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So then the developer has to then pay what our fee is based on how many houses and, or how many structures and number of bedrooms they've been at. And whether they're replacing, you know, so if you tear down six houses and you put up 10, they only have to pay for the net.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. So it's kind of like that. And so that's basically the process that it follows. It geographically would be within an existing school boundary area. Now, I know when Hart's Greenbrier came up, that created that, like, when that housing dump came online, I believe it was decided to not have those students attend Churchill, but actually to attend Lincoln. Because of, again, the enrollment impact. So we haven't had to have those kind of conversations since 2003.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, that would be something, you know, there's a lot of these developments that were out there that they were talking about, especially the one that is west of Menards, Glendale Heights. I mean, there's been a developer going to Glendale Heights, two deaths, I think now it kind of depends. But, you know, the original developer wanted to put in like 100 townhomes or something like that.
I remember we did talk about that.
So, but the village of like the Pike managed that one. So.
Yeah.
But
just curious.
Yeah, we can put this on our list to watch, but we haven't. I don't believe we've received anything from the village of Glen Ellyn at this point in time.
Because it's not.
Because it's usually at the planning point where they actually then send us a literal plat that we get to review and then comment on.
Thanks.
Thanks,
curiosity.
Thanks,
Bob.
Okay. Nothing else then? Okay. We'll start again in a few minutes then.